This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs with T. Xiao Yik in the studio here with me today.
Yes, first up, the SPM results. They were released yesterday. That's for the 2019 SPM examinations. So we're looking at whether it's really the definitive measure of a young person's future potential. And also, if you have kids or know of kids who received their SPM results yesterday, do weigh in as well. Tell us what you think about SPM and its role in preparing children for the future. And the reason we are talking about that is, of course, because the results of the 2019 SPM exams were released yesterday to the joy, relief, and, you know, for some, I guess, the sorrow of almost 390,000 students nationwide. These are 18-year-olds who will be leaving the school system and moving on to the next major phase in their lives, whether it's tertiary education, vocational training, or for some, maybe even straight to working life. So what lies ahead for these young people, and how much will their preparation and performance in their SPM guide them?
So first, let's look at how our young'uns did. You know, more students scored straight A's compared to the year before, with more than 8,800 candidates scoring A+, A and A- in all subjects. And when you break it down to the performance in individual subjects, there's both improvement and decline. So the passing percentage for English improved slightly, 80.5% last year compared to 79.4% in the previous year.
Very slight improvement.
Something. And Bahasa Melayu and Moral Education also showed better performance, while Islamic Education, History, Mathematics and Science recorded a decline in their percentage compared to 2018.
Yes, and overall, the results showed that 48 out of 83 subjects improved in performance, while 27 subjects recorded a decline. And for now, I'm just stuck on the fact that there are 83. I don't know.
Have you been out of school that long?
Perhaps.
I didn't recall there being that many.
Perhaps. But, you know, looking beyond academic performance as well, last year's results do unfortunately show a slight decline in the ability of candidates to apply the components of higher order thinking skills in answering the exam questions. So these higher order thinking skills, unfortunately, shortened to HOTS, was a sort of a system, I guess, introduced in 2014. And the percentage of HOTS questions in the exam has been gradually increased every year since then. So what these higher order thinking skills, what the questions do is they test students' ability to think critically in order to solve problems, make decisions, innovate and create. And so by bringing that through in the exam questions, it's supposed to test their thinking skills. And, you know, that means that teachers cannot just focus on predicting what questions will come out and memorize and forcing students to memorize the answers. I mean, if you think back to our days in school, there was a lot of those past year questions, right?
And spotting which exam questions
you look
are
at
come
the
out.
Trends of the past years that's and predict right. what will come out the following year.
That's right. And this kind of assessment of critical thinking skills is in line with the increasing need to move away from focusing on academic performance alone. In fact, many people are also questioning the idea that one single examination should be used to assess students' higher secondary achievements and their capacity to move on to the next phase of life.
Yeah. So we actually asked a couple of parents what they thought about this.
I will take my daughter's case as an example. So she doesn't really prepare her SPM exam in sufficient time. She just prepared like about half a year before the SPM arrives. So basically, I told her that you need to be prepared if you don't get good result, because you need to have more sufficient time to prepare, not just like something overnight, and then you expect to get all A's. So I told her also, you can't expect, if you're planting rambutan, then you're expecting to harvest durian. Of course, SPM results are important for them before they go to college. So at least that's a foundation knowledge for them before they move further.
In Malaysia, there's a lot of pressure on SPM results with regards to scholarships and university entry. I feel SPM may not be an accurate gauge of a child's potential. My son, for example, had okay SPM results, but he actually seemed to fare better in university and did well. So it really depends on the individual.
So that's the perspective of two parents. And then I turned to a teacher. In fact, my own former secondary school teacher.
Wow.
Puan Tan CK. That really brings back memories. And I wanted to get her thoughts on this. So she retired relatively recently, actually, only in 2016, after having taught for 34 years. Additional maths, actually, for 34 years. So I asked her first, what was her approach in preparing her students for SPM and beyond?
Of course, you've got to confine yourself to the syllabus, you know. You have to study the syllabus, you have to study the past year routine, and you've got to prepare your lessons according to that. Mm-hmm. At the meantime, also, we got to see the children's personalities, not just the studying part, how to be a rightful citizen,
mm-hmm.
how to be an adult, how to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
And to be of use to the world so that it would be in qualities of the children.
Mm-hmm.
More like, you know, everyday life thing, how they blend with the environment,
mm-hmm.
blend with their colleagues, blend with their peers,
mm-hmm.
and also sharing. Sharing experiences, sharing knowledge, give and take.
Yes.
And how to lead in a group, in mm-hmm. a class.
And do you think that an exam like SPM is really the best way to assess children's potential?
Oh, it's definitely not the best way. It's mm-hmm. just one of the ways. I think it is a way, but I suppose the syllabus got to change. They have to change.
Mm-hmm.
There are too many subjects which mm-hmm. are unnecessary, and the right subject for the 21st century is not there.
And, you know, you were still teaching when the higher order thinking skills was implemented. Yep. And actually, the results that were just released yesterday show a slight decline, actually, in the students' achievements in HOTS. What does that say about the way that we are approaching learning and education?
I would say it's actually, that part I would say is actually the result of teachers. Teachers, when they teach, there are teachers who don't teach. By right, actually, the syllabus is a good guide.
Mm-hmm.
You got to follow the necessity in the syllabus.
Mm-hmm.
But teachers tend to look at past year questions and teach according to that.
Mm-hmm.
Some don't even teach the basic approach. They just teach the SPM questions.
Yep.
So that's where the problem comes in.
Mm-hmm.
The basic is just not there, the basic skills to tackle anything beyond.
And did you see that lacking among students?
Yes, I see it among the teachers who were teaching. So my approach was very different. You see, I don't conform to that. I go beyond. That's why I set questions also one stage higher. Because I said, this is the bare minimum. You don't want the bare minimum. You want to go beyond the bare minimum.
And, I mean, over your 34 years of teaching, you would have dealt with a lot of parents as well. How do you think how do you think parents and their children should manage their expectations about, you know, what to expect for SPM and what it really means?
Actually, some parents, they have very, very high expectations of their children. They don't talk to their children. They don't understand their children.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have parents who came to see me, you know, saying that the child was not performing in their maths. But he was typically an arts person. You can see from him, and maths doesn't suit him. You have parents like that. You don't listen to your children. You don't listen to your needs. They are just not make out to be an MS student, that's all.
Mm.
But they excel in others.
Mm.
They excel in others, so it's okay. Let them explore. Actually, children themselves know what they are good at. And then parents should conform to their children. Not the other way around. You see, I have two kids.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter refused to go to the science stream. It's okay. The thing is, her parents measure by the number of A's. So you got straight A's, so you got to be a doctor. You know, you don't have A, so you cannot be a doctor. It's not that.
Do you have a word of advice for the SPM grads today, regardless of what results they got?
Oh, my advice to them, move on. SPM is just a pathway to continue the journey. There are many routes.
Absolutely.
Okay, it's not the final destination yet.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many routes to go. And going to Form 6, going A-levels, going to university is not the only route. This is the modern 21st century. It's different. Just move on and go the pathway you can go and you want to go. Passion. I would say passion above everything. Once you're passionate about what you do, you will strive and you will achieve.
So that was Tan Si Kee, an ex-secondary school teacher. In fact, my former secondary school teacher whom I reached out to. And now from a teacher to a student, or rather someone who was a student not too long ago, Noor Kira Yusri, co-founder of Undi 18. So I started by asking Kira if SBM is the best way to assess a young person's preparedness or future potential.
I think today's SBM has changed since when it was my batch to do SPM, for sure. I think today's SPM take into account other forms of assessments as well, from what I understand. So it's not just one exam at the end of the year that determines your future. However, I do still think there are flaws to standardized testing, and it may not necessarily capture holistically how a student has been performing over the past 12 years of their life. So I think there are pros and cons to it. But I think most importantly, students need to understand that SPM is not the end, be all end all for their entire lives, you know, regardless of the result they've gotten for the exam.
But it's hard to get away from that because, you know, every year we see in the media highlighting who are the straight A students, you know, who are the top achievers. What are your thoughts about this kind of a thinking about education performance?
I feel this comes down to a little bit of our Asian culture, right, of like trying to one-up each other constantly. But also I think because education is such a politicized ministry, politicized sector in Malaysia, that each time we have a different minister who's trying to propose a new different thing, and then they'll use exam results as a benchmark against that. When in actuality, if you want to actually assess the success of educational policies, it shouldn't be It may not necessarily come as an immediate, turnaround time, right? So I think, while I can't really fault schools and departments for trying to be proud of the exam results, I think we don't often think about students who may not perform that well when it comes to standardized exams, and it may not, it would put so a lot of emphasis on SPM results when we all know that sometimes exams don't really communicate how well you are as a student.
And as a youth activist, as somebody who looks beyond academic issues, what would you like to say to young people and students now? What's really important for their future?
Well, as someone who wasn't academically that great, to be honest, I think it's very important to know what you want to do. I think that's a lot more important than scoring straight A's in an exam. Of course, scoring good results helps you, gets you places faster than other people, but it doesn't mean that it is the only way to get you places, for example, within tertiary education. So in my previous job with Closing the Gap, where we work literally with students, getting them into universities, we always emphasize that, you know, it's really important to know what you really want to do. For example, just because you have straight A, it doesn't mean that you need to go into a STEM career pathway or STEM pathway within tertiary education. But if you want to explore something that you're really passionate about, like the arts or doing business and things like that, absolutely be open to it. I think a lot of our students are not being told that that you do have a freedom of choice when it comes to choosing your tertiary education pathway or even considering what to do after SPM. So I think that's really important. Take time to just do your own research, ask around what actually are options available for you, and then make decisions based on that.
And, from the perspective of Undi 18 and young people's voting rights in particular, what are the kinds of social and global issues that young people need to be thinking about now beyond just the subjects for SPM, you know?
Yeah, so I think, according to the World Economic Forum, the biggest issue that concerns young people is actually climate change, right? So I guess as a young person, if you're interested in social issues like climate change, democratic empowerment, education reform, but you don't know where to start. The good thing is that we live in a world of technology where information is readily available. So I say for young people, you know, find out what sort of career pathways that are available for you to make a change. For example, or even if considering whatever they want to do next, how can they apply it after getting a university degree? So for example, let's say if you're doing engineering, you know, how can you apply to your passion to combat climate change? If you are studying communications, like I did, how can I apply, you know, and then halfway through my university degree, I realized that I was really passionate about going into social impact causes. How can I apply what I learned into the causes that that I care about? I think for a lot of young people, we need to realize that whatever we study in university may not necessarily be the thing that we do after graduation. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to think, how can the skills that we achieve in high school as well as in university or college can apply to what we want to do afterwards.
Is Undi 18 doing any initiatives in schools?
Yeah. So we're hoping to go into schools working with MPs and others, because our main focus is always, how do we bridge the gap between policymakers, politicians, as well as young people? And we're trying to show that, you know, being a politician or going or being into advocacy is not something that is impossible or that is exclusive, you know. So we're trying to remove that barrier and that misconception. We are hoping to do a lot more engagements. For example, in March, we are doing a Seeds for Democracy program, working with 150 young people all over Malaysia to work with them, to train them on the skills of advocacy, voter education, and tackling issues that are close and dear to their hearts. And then we're also hoping to work with MPs and ADUNs as well, to work with potential young voters in their constituencies to educate them on the consequences of their actions. For example, when you go to vote during elections, what does it mean to vote? And what does it mean to understand policy? And how can you ask better questions from your representative, for example? So these are the kind of programs and outreach that we plan to do over the next year, at least leading up to the next elections.
And any final word of advice for the SPM grads?
I think for me, it would be, take your time to assess your plans. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us often just jump into something without thinking about the consequences, mm-hmm. and also out of panic, probably. So I think it's really important to just take time. You know, it's never bad to get second, third, even fourth opinions regards to your future plans, because that's how important it is. Mm-hmm. And I guess I would say, don't panic.
That was Nokira Yusri, co-founder of Undi 18, with some very valuable advice. Don't panic.
She's right.
Yeah. And there is that sense, isn't it, that right after you get your results, you have to know what you're going to go mm-hmm, into. Mm-hmm. And that's going to determine your future career path.
Yeah. And if, you know, if you didn't get a grade one, I don't even know if that's still in play now.
I don't know either.
Shows you how long we've been out of school.
That's right.
I remember, you know, people saying like, oh, that's the end. You know, what are you going to do now?
That's right, yeah. But I do feel that times have changed a bit. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more openness towards young people going into business, into startups, their
that's
own.
That's right.
This thing about being an entrepreneur is just as valuable as being a professional.
That's right.
Yeah. And we have a few messages as well on WhatsApp. Anthony says, I remember getting my SPM results and feeling like the weight of the world was crashing down on me. I was lost. I felt like I disappointed everyone, and I wondered if I was dumb. But I started finding myself and focused on my interests and passion, pursued screenwriting, journalism, and ended up becoming the top student in uni. I guess we're all good at something. You just have to find yourself. You just have to find yours. And SPM is not the end of the world. And Kat says she did her SPM in 2012. And, you know, most of it was memorizing facts. Except for the language subjects, and there was a lot of you know, trying to predict which questions will come out as well. And she says it's not exactly how you want kids to learn, you know, by memorizing facts rather than actually learning. Sui Lim also sent in a message. More emphasis should be put on the trades or vocational skills as a possible career pathway. For too long, we've been brainwashed that this pathway is for those who can't make it academically, and the end result is that we have too many graduates with no practical skills.
Yeah, that's
a very good point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, continue to send your thoughts to us. You can always tweet us at BFM Radio. You can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899, or you can
do share more of these stories with us.
Yeah, and how you felt maybe after your own SPM results, yeah. Whether you
I'm sure it's bringing back some nightmares for some people.
It is for me. We're going to take a short break on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.